from the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome to the Bill Show. And here I am. And I was I got home, and then I walked into my studio, and there was this guy here. Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
The people's flag is deepest red. It's routed martyrs. Did Bill? It's nice to be here.
Rampant communist.
Bill, it's nice to be here at the Kremlin studios tonight, and. Bill, I don't know if it's the wallpaper or whatever it is. Wait a minute.
It's my right wing friend, Gary Fenlon.
Thanks, Bill.
Hi, Gary. You fascist. So, how are you going?
Nice to join you here in sunny Melbourne.
How are things in the treehouse where you talk to other running dogs of imperialist
Bill, Queensland,
authoritarian rule?
Queensland is the people's paradise from which I come, and it's doing very nice.
Repressive one day, corrupt the next.
It's always sunny in Queensland.
Well, listen, I got to tell you who we got with us. A very, very special guest today. Randy couldn't be here today, but this is Gary Fenlon. Gary Fenlon is an actual politician. Well, he was.
Formerly, Bill, thank you.
Formerly a politician. And he served in the Queensland Parliament for 17 years. And... you tired? You want to lie down?
I've got to lie down now. That's it. Good night.
It's that much brown nosing. It can actually get you chemically.
It's the knife wounds.
You get hurt. The knife wounds. Do I not bleed? Anyway, he's been a veteran of the political wars here in Australia, and also has a few choice viewpoints as to what's going on in the world this week. Can I just say, well, that... today something happened in the news today, Gary.
Yes.
I'll note that he's nodding.
I only listen to Radio National, Bill. So
Radio National is like the PBS station here. So he's a bit of a snob.
It wasn't on there, but I didn't hear it.
That's right. Yeah. What's happening in Australia is today they've actually enacted a new set of Australian terror laws because of ISIS. Wait a minute. ICE. There should be like, we should have like a really scary sound right now. Here it is. Here it is. This is my sound for ISIS. So you all be scared. Yeah, that's the sound for ISIS from Night House. The screaming. See, every time I say ISIS, you're going to hear this scream. Yeah. It's because we really have to be scared of them. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So anyway, because of the ISIS, stop that. Because of the ISIS problem, we have Australian terror laws that are being enacted, which probably are the most harsh and draconian laws of surveillance that Australia has ever had. Now, Gary, you're in the political front seat. You sit in leather chairs and talk to people who, you know, drink brandy from sifters. What's going on with this terror law stuff? I don't think we need a terror law here, do you?
Well, Bill, I'm finding the debate fairly shallow. And one of the issues that we haven't confronted among the commentators that I've seen to date is the issue of a state. And we hear a lot about an ISIS state, etc., and people speculating about what it is and the world.
But are we just overreacting to this whole ISIS thing here?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Really?
I think it's a real threat, and you socialists, people. I am not from the south. I think it's
No. I'm not a socialist because I don't want to go and blow something up again. You know, because I got used to us being at peace for 23 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, Bill, I think there's no denying that there is a significant international threat that's been recognised very well by all of the major players in the world. And I think certainly countries have to be prepared now to use whatever legislation and devices they need to undertake that.
See, I think you and I would probably agree on something, that we'd be agree that Obama's moves so far have... I know Bill wouldn't agree if he was here, but I actually think Obama's moves so far have been comparatively wise, even though I'm a bit cautious about them ever having boots on the ground, because I think that that's the last thing you want to do. I think you're playing into ISIS's hands if you get involved in another land war in the Mideast with just America there. And I think there's something to be said for the fact that he's accumulated so many people and so many countries to go on with him. I think he's done a good job.
Yes, indeed, Bill, and I agree that on that he's one. Doing the
See,
right
now we don't disagree
thing.
On everything
no,
all
don't,
the time.
We don't disagree on everything, Bill. No.
You know, now even us lefty communists.
You lefties down here in Melbourne.
Yeah, here in Melbourne. Yeah. Hey, this is our Attorney General. This is a guy named Brandeis. Now, Brandeis was asked a really interesting question on Sky News, in which he was asked by the guy. He sit there and say, "With this new bill that passes, does this mean that you get to check on anyone's internet history, like anyone's?" And this was the answer that Brandeis gave. It was kind of like he really didn't want to answer it. Here it is from Sky News this week.
What people are viewing on the internet when they web surf is not going to be caught. What will be caught is the it tells you the address of the website.
That's the website, isn't it?
Well, when you visit a website, people browse from one thing to the next, and that browsing history won't be retained or there won't be any capacity to access that.
Excuse my confusion here, but if you are retaining the web address, you are retaining the website, aren't you?
Well, every website has an electronic address, right?
Yep.
And
that's recorded.
Whether there's when a connection is made between a one computer terminal and a web address, that fact and the time of the connection and the duration of the connection is what we mean by metadata in that context.
But that is telling you where I've been on the web.
Well, it records what web at what electronic web address has been accessed.
I don't see the difference.
That's because there is no difference. what was that about, Gary? What was that, God? Well, he was like choking on food there.
George had his briefing written by somebody, and he obviously didn't get it.
George, go out and say this. Yes. It's on a card. Look, the card's big, George.
Different card. He had the wrong card, the wrong
card. I'm reading from the same script, boy. Yes. Yes, it's a draconian law. It is. Do you know one of the things about this law, and this is in Australia, so all your people, why the majority of the people that are in America are going, hey, well, we already have this. We have the Patriot Act, which basically means that anybody can pick up anybody in America, anybody can pick them up off the street, hold them without charge, without knowing the charges against them, without seeing the person who's charging them, indefinitely, without a trial. By the way, I always get this kind of idea. Sounds fascism to me. Doesn't it sound fascism to you?
Well, Bill?
You know, I'm just looking at your basic fascistic society. That basically I can get arrested and somebody can not tell me who's charging me, nor know the charges against me, and I can get held in perpetuity.
Bill, if you accept the first point that there is a war in place, and I know there's some delicacy
I don't accept
about
that
using
point.
The three-letter word.
I don't accept
if
that.
If there is a
because
war,
Congress declares war
occurring, well, whether you call it a war or not, and I'm happy to elaborate on
that. So we're in a constant state of war.
We're in a state of war.
But we're in a constant state of war, Gary.
If we are setting out to eliminate a state from the international community, and I was going back to talk about what a state might be before, but if this is a state, and we are setting out to eliminate it from the international community because the international community doesn't accept it as a state, then...
Right.
I can't see any other way to describe that other than a war.
Yeah, okay.
So,
well, no, but what does that mean? We've managed to have the Vietnam War, the Korean War. We've had many wars that were in which we didn't have to sacrifice the basic rights that were granted us in the Magna Carta. I mean, I'm sorry, I just don't see the point. Well, the Vietnam War lasted for 14 years in America. Not once did you have it say in legislation that it was okay to pick people up off the street and hold them indefinitely. People did that, but it was never codified in law. Suddenly, it's in law.
Bill, such laws come and go according they to never the level go. Of conflicts.
Once you give that authority to a state, they never give it back up.
We will see, and if we have the power to legislate those laws away one day, then people will elect governments to do that.
You think?
Bill, that's what democracy does. It gets people in power to eliminate unacceptable laws. Now, if we had a Bill of Rights that had enshrined those things, that would make it even harder. So that's one
should,
reason.
Do you think we should have a Bill of Rights?
No, not in Australia, Bill, and I've been part of ensuring that we don't do that, because I'd rather go down to the local polling booth and elect the local bozo to go to Parliament to vote for laws that enshrine rights, rather than leave laws to a Bill of Rights to have those learned gentlemen in the High Court or elsewhere in other courts to interpret those rights and make laws accordingly in common law.
So you are not scared by any of these new laws coming?
No, not at all, Bill. I'm not scared. Look at me. Look at me, Bill. Do I look scared? Do I look scared?
Well, over here in the socialist left, we have this problem.
Yeah, I know.
You know, once
why I started singing the red flag. It's just like
Because, you know, like I see because people thinking like off I'm the street. The you know, I got a long memory.
Bill, get with the rest of the world. Get with the rest of the world. The free world.
Give up those rights. What do you need a Fourth Amendment for, America? Yeah, search and seizure. Yeah. It's okay. Fuck it. Freedom of the press. Fuck
Move
it.
Move on, Bill. Move on, because that is necessary in a
that
state
is necessary
of
for the new land to happen. The 100-year Reich will stand forever.
Well,
my killer, I can walk.
Move along.
Anyway, listen, I have the cut that I wanted you to talk to, because basically we talked earlier about this one thing about... I actually agree with your take on the ground troops thing, and you wanted to talk to that, and we actually were watching this, both of us, we were watching this on Fox, and I'm sorry I had to expose you to that, man.
That's right, Bill.
Fox News.
I feel better now.
But I mean, it's not really, seriously, you know, there's
Panadol, I'm all right.
Yeah, Panadol.
Yeah.
A little morphine, you'd be fine. Yeah. So this is from Fox News, and basically talks about why Obama why it will never work that we use no ground troops. Now, I happen to agree with Gary on this point, and I think Obama's doing a good thing, but let's listen to what they said on the Fox that started us thinking about this point in the new war against ISIS.
Go to it, Bill.
Okay, I will.
New concerns about the Obama administration's plans to defeat ISIS as the terror network releases another beheading video over the weekend. The White House and our Secretary of State are maintaining the U.S. won't put boots on the ground.
I can say definitively that the president has ruled out sending American boots on the ground to be engaged in a combat role in Iraq and in Syria.
Well, we're not looking to put troops on the ground. There are some who have offered to do so. But we are not looking for that at this moment anyway.
A former vice chair of the Joint Chiefs warns airstrikes won't be enough, while a former CIA chief predicts that reality will result in U.S. special forces on the ground by year's end.
The only way we can think about destroying ISIS in this particular strategy is that the forces on the ground will have to do the destroying.
I actually think we're going to end up with small American special operations forces active in this broad theater, both Iraq and Syria. I do think we get to about 5,000 by the end of the year.
So what if that's what it takes to get it done? Does anybody have an objection with that at this table?
I do not.
You do not.
No, and I also think that I have some sympathy, or I think empathy is a better word, for what the administration is having to do. They're juggling a lot of different complex situations, partly of their own making. But now that they're in it, it's difficult. When you are offered help by some of the Arab countries, you don't necessarily want to advertise that. Or those countries have said it will hurt the effort if you do say that we're there. On terms of boots on the ground, I think that most, I think that the administration could focus and rally the nation around 5,000 special forces troops. That is not an invasion of a country. That's not 150,000 troops on the ground with all of the support teams that have to come with that. I think 5,000 special force, if that's what it comes down to, that's not what the administration's saying. That's the former CIA chief is saying. I just think that the administration still, even after this weekend, still seems very wobbly in its descriptions. It's just not clear what they're doing. I understand that they're having to walk some really strange lines, but even today you had the State Department spokesperson absolutely contradicting the Secretary of State on whether or not the United States had engaged Iran. So I think that that's what's giving people some pause. But overall, I think they could probably get support for that type of mission as they described.
All right. Okay. Go ahead.
I think they're already boots on the ground. And I'm not, that's the last time I ever say that. Start saying ground troops, because boots on the ground is incredibly irritating. I don't think our country is war wary. I think our country is Obama wary. We know that our troops can eat ISIS for lunch.
I'm sorry, Gary. I just can't stand that fuckhead. I seriously, man, just can't stand him. Because you know the IQ of that entire conversation just dipped to zippity-doo-dah as soon as he... Because, you know, only one guy would sit there and argue that entire complex issue and then go back, you know what? Obama. Yeah, that's the problem. Obama's the problem. Obama's the problem. It's not ISIS at all. It's, you know, the black man in the White House. You know, that... At uppity Negro, that guy just bothers me. Sorry.
Bill, that was an analysis as about as shallow as a backyard kiddie swimming pool, and that's what I'm getting at.
Well said, man. Yes.
So, Bill, let's talk about some real analysis.
Let's talk about some real analysis. So you weren't impressed with the idea that they're absolutely cool with boots on the ground.
No, look, that's not the point. The starting point is to understand what you're dealing with strategically.
Mm.
And the point I made earlier is that you have to decide and discern as to whether this is a state that you're dealing with. So most
now, were you talking to me? You said it. You saying it is a state?
I think it's a state. When you look at factors around whether something is a state, it's not just a nation state. People talk about a state as being a cohesive apparatus, and a cohesive apparatus consisting of a military, ways of raising funds, etc. It can have flexible borders. It can be like an amoeba, which is probably what this is about. But if you start looking at those factors and start ticking the boxes, I think I come to the conclusion that it's a state. Now, that's an important point, because if it is a state, it's no longer seen as a simple terrorist group. If it is a state, it means a very strategically different starting position. So states are susceptible to what can be referred to as state terrorism. So states can be subject to a very different form of warfare, and it's a warfare that can be a warfare of attrition, a siege warfare, a warfare that is mounted on the basis of terrorist type principles. So in terms of deciding what the US and its allies should be doing right now, that is the starting point to analysis. So you might postulate that as a state, it is more subject to, vulnerable to, these sorts of ongoing, meticulous airstrikes, taking out strategic command and taking out, indeed, chains of ways of making money.
There was a conservative columnist the other day that said something. He said that he found it, I think it was Brian Fisher, who's an absolute nut job, but he sat there and said that he couldn't understand why they were hitting all these installations at times in which the people who worked in them were usually not there. Well, that's because we're not targeting people, civilians. Now, are you saying that we should become as savage as they are and just literally do what we did in World War II and just saturation bomb the entire area?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Because that certainly was terrorism. If you look at Dresden or anything like that, that was terrorism. That was there are many intimidation.
Many forms of terrorism, but not necessarily intimidation. Terrorism can also take the form of a strategic approach to take out critical elements of infrastructure and resources. That's why some of the terrorism that you might talk about in the Second World War was about people going behind the lines with the resistance, taking out bridges and critical infrastructure.
Right. I just don't think that, look, My gut tells me that, A, there's two reasons why we should never get ground troops involved. And you're saying we don't have to, which I think is exactly true. That we can certainly wage war against ISIS. And I'm going to be one of those people that actually says that I'm glad that Obama's there rather than John McCain, who by the way, John McCain. John McCain went to Syria. Remember back when Syria? Yeah. Assad is our friend now.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good performance, John.
Syria.
Well done.
John McCain goes over there and he basically offers guns to all these different groups that are against Assad. And some of those groups were related to ISIS. See, that's our possible president of the United States right there. Now I wanted to talk to you briefly about who do you think? I'm going to play something for. Did you want to say anything else about that?
No, that's good.
No, really. I'm going to play you something about James Baker. You know who James Baker was?
Yes.
Okay. James Baker was the chief of staff for the Bush administration. He's been in many Republican administrations for George Daddy Bush's administration. And he had to say this about the origins of the problem of ISIS. And I thought it was quite enlightening. I thought I'd share it with you. Right here it is, James Baker.
I know you've been asked this before. The Bush 41 administration chose not to take out Saddam Hussein. Right. You believe if you had, that basically the 90s would look like what we're dealing with today?
Well, we were afraid of that. That's why we didn't, for 2 years after we left office. Why didn't you guys take care of Saddam when you had the chance? Every time I'd go out and give a speech or something, I'd get the question. Well, now people see why we didn't. Because we were worried about this very thing happening. That there would be ethnic divisions and that the country would split apart.
And this is exactly what I'm... Vice President, I take it you don't agree with Vice President Cheney, who said this week again, if he had to do it over again, he'd do the Iraq war again.
Well, I don't agree with this. I don't agree that because they did the Iraq war is why we're where we are. I think you can make the same argument about Obama's failure to arm the Syrian opposition.
Earlier.
Okay, that's James Baker, and gosh, we miss him. But what he said, what I thought was sitting there saying, basically, dear old dad's Secretary of State has just blamed ISIS on George W. Bush. And what about Dick Cheney? What about Dick Cheney? Gary, come on. You're watching from
Dick's
overseas.
Dick's being misunderstood, right?
What?
Misunderstood. Right from day one. You haven't given him time.
Really?
Bill, I think... To
seriously? To, look, Dick Cheney's misunderstood?
I think we have to
I would have gone in anyway. Yeah. Bill, I would have gone in anyway.
Bill, we have to say that there's been a few... questionable decisions made.
Questionable?
Over a few of these little invasions. But again, Bill.
Yes?
I'm going to go back to talking about the state.
Yeah.
There's this funny thing that happens when in the course of the odd invasion and the odd taking out of a despot that they seem to miss the point that when you dismantle one state,
you've got to replace it with something else.
You've got to find another state.
Yeah.
You can look under the cupboards. You can check the back seat of the Humvee, but you've got to find one.
Do you think that in retrospect of what George W. Bush did, and of course the incompetent way he did it, that Australia was wrong to follow a United States into Iraq?
Now, Bill, that's a difficult little question. Bill, connection...
I got you on that one.
You got me on that, Bill, but...
Why the God's name didn't you stay home?
Bill... Australia...
We have the stupidest war you guys come along?
...is connected at the hip to the US, and that goes back a long way.
I'll hold your stuff while you beat up that guy, okay?
A long way, Bill.
That's Australia. So, Australia's the kid who hung around with a bully at school.
Yeah. Bill...
Why did you guys go into Iraq?
Bill, Australia has been connected to the hip for a very long time.
Well, we love you for it.
Yes, indeed. And
show some smarts.
And you have to understand...
We elected Gilligan, didn't you see that?
You have to understand that Australia is very indebted across its generations to the US. We feel very strategically committed.
Mm.
So partly when we go into these conflicts, and I haven't agreed with every one of them. Certainly, the era when I was growing up, I was lining up to go to Vietnam with a lot of other kids who were going to get killed. And I disagree.
Which was a
with
mistake
that.
As well.
Big mistake.
How many mistakes big does mistake. America have to drag you into before you go, you know what? Yeah. We're going to be a friend and tell you the truth.
But Bill,
we're going to be a friend that turns to you and says, maybe you shouldn't get involved in this. Maybe we're not the yes man anymore. Maybe we're the honest friend.
Bill,
don't you think Australia should be the honest friend, Bill?
The US didn't make a mistake in 1942, Bill. When they
came but that's the last
Australia
good one you'll
and
see.
Us out.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And we
that's
don't want right. it to happen again.
That's
so
right.
I think that's the you've got to understand how deeply entrenched that feeling is across this generation and their previous generations. Perhaps it's dissipating a little in the next generation on who don't have that cultural and historical memory. So, for example, where I grew up in the city of Rockhampton, city of 40,000 people. In 1942, there were between 50 and 70,000 US troops from the 41st American Division who were stationed there to go and defend Australia from that point to change the course of the war. Bombing was occurring in Queensland. Townsville had been bombed. My city of Rockhampton was probably the next city to be bombed. We are very indebted to the US and connected to them. Not every decision that's made about following America or going with America to conflicts is right. But it is embedded in that very deep historical relationship. And thankfully, we're also able to stand up and say, that was a bad one, that was a good one, that was a questionable one. It's like,
okay, football I'll represent America here, right? Yeah. Okay, this is me. I'm representing America. I'm the only American in the room, okay?
Yes.
So now I'm looking at you right now, okay? The next time, the next time I start drinking, and at the end, like in the middle of the evening, I sit there and go, hey, I got a great idea. Let's invade Iraq and kick all the Sunnis out of their jobs and give them the guns to kill us later on and get involved in the Middle East. Next time I'm drinking or maybe a little fucked up and I do that, you be my friend, dude. You're my wingman.
Yeah.
From next time, I want you to hold me back instead of going, hey, man.
I'll go with you.
Yeah, Bill,
I'll hold you back.
We'll get a VW van. We'll live in Tijuana. Yeah, good idea.
Hey, Bill, maybe this time you got it right.
Huh?
Maybe this time.
Maybe this time with ISIS.
Yeah, maybe you got it right.
Oh, well, we did get... I just object to everybody losing their shit. I mean, seriously, we are being manipulated. You got to admit this, man. Come on, ISIS wants us in there because the only way they win is if we go in there. And ISIS wants us to go in there. And the military-industrial complex had peace for 20 minutes and they just plotzed. You know, look at all the can you imagine, you know who's making a killing in the Middle East right now besides just, you know, every other whack job suicide vest group in town? The arms manufacturers.
There'd be a few little U.S. corporations who'd be rubbing their hands, Bill.
I know.
But the situation in the Middle East is complex beyond imagination.
But I don't think. See, that's, I think that a lot of people view ISIS as an existential threat to their country. I just don't. I think that they are a crime concern. They are a concern that we're going to have to deal with. But I don't think that they're an existential threat. I just don't. I think that this whole thing's being played up. I think their power is exaggerated. You know,
Bill, they are a state. They exist, and if the world community decides,
yeah, but
that
so
they
does North Korea, and they got nukes.
Yeah, well, that's probably
we don't lose our shit because they're there, do we?
You know, even the Thunderbirds.
You know, makes like, all right, Bill, North Korea's been there for years.
Even the Thunderbirds were delicate about going into North Korea.
Okay. Well, listen, I'll tell you something. I can tell you something. Somebody very, very witty is on my side of this situation. And because it's my show and this is a progressive show. A red show.
Yeah.
We're going to play this highlight from Bill Maher, who was on this week. So this is off of Bill Maher, and we'll be right back after this message.
Bring it on, Bill.
And finally, new rule when it comes to being baited into going to war. America has to try a little harder to not be so fucking easy! Excuse me. Sorry. Just a few months ago, polls showed Americans were sick of war. They'd had enough. They were anxious to stay out of the Middle East. Then they saw two beheadings, and overnight, they were like, oh, war, we can't stay mad at you. You know, conservatives love to vilify anyone who doesn't want to immediately throw down as appeasers. But when you're dealing with terrorists who aim is to bait us into overreaction and you oblige them, aren't you the appeaser? Well, it's been 13 years since 9/11, the day when our first responders rushed into action and got all the Saudi Arabians out of the country. But we still don't seem to have learned that for terrorism to work, it takes two. They're selling terror, and boy, are we buying. Lindsey Graham, the Senate's own Blanche DuBois, is the scaredest person in the world. He and John McCain are like the ghost in Mr. Chicken. When there's lightning, McCain has to let Lindsey sleep in the bed and sing to him the Raindrops on Roses song. Lindsey said that ISIS is so all-powerful, if the president doesn't rise to the occasion, we're all going to get killed back here at home. He actually said that, and then collapsed onto his fainting couch. Republican Trent Franks said that ISIS currently is on the U.S. border, and that there's no question that they have designs on coming into Arizona. Oh, my God, the brown people. And the other brown people are going to hook up. Mexicans and ISIS sneaking into the country together. They're going to cut our heads off with a hedge trimmer. Now, look. Look, I feel bad about the journalists who were killed, and I admire greatly their courage to go to the most dangerous place in the world. But it was their choice, and when you choose to live among cutthroats, you might get your throat cut. Do Americans living here really think they're going to be next? One day it happens in the desert outside Mosul, and the next day you're standing in line for the new iPhone and... Get a grip! Would we be this terrified if ISIS didn't make videos and wear black and have a scary name? ISIS. Sounds like they should be fighting the X-Men. ISIS. It's simultaneously cool-sounding and stands for pure evil. Like Monsanto. Monsanto, who we recently learned puts an ingredient in Roundup, their ubiquitous crop spray, called polyethoxylated toluamine that is far more toxic than anyone realized. Folks, ISIS isn't going to kill you. Things like polyethoxylated toluamine, that's what's going to kill you. But try selling that idea in the United States of pants shitters. Actually, to her credit last week, Hillary Clinton did try. She said climate change is the most consequential, urgent, sweeping collection of challenges we face. A statement that outraged Republicans because it contained the two things they simply will not abide, science and truth. I'm not saying that there aren't people out there who want us dead. I'm just saying there are much more likely killers right here. But for us, it's only real when it's on a video that Anderson Cooper warns us not to watch and then shows 10,000 times. Our top story tonight, boo! And when we come back, I've got your nose. But you know what? Climate change doesn't stand a chance because you can't capture rising sea levels on a 6-second Vine video. What we need to do is to get a polar bear to punch someone in an elevator. Thank you. That's our show.
It's these bailouts that represent the abandonment of capitalism.
Blowing the tops off mountains.
If you're out of a job, I guess you're a bum. They don't think that maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it was your fault, Orrin Hatch.
In healthcare, the lie that we should just allow the industry to run in a free market mode, the invisible hand of the market's going to take care of itself, nothing is farther from the truth.
This is Obama's my pet goat moment.
There's a Bush up for that.
Isn't this the end of democracy as we know it? If 51 senators can pass something against the will of the majority, 49.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media. Edited, organized, and mixed. Only at bestoftheleft.com.
And we're back from a break. Yes, hello.
Back here at Pinko Central, Bill.
Pinko?
That's it. That's
Pinko. I'm a Pinko, here. Am I?
The back room of the Kremlin.
Yeah, that's yes. No. I think that myself, I view myself as a New Dealer.
New Dealer, yes.
Bill, you know, like Roosevelt and yes, that, you know, that communist.
Yes, yes, Bill, he was a
Or Dwight David Eisenhower, yeah, that look, communist.
Look, he was a
hey, Dwight David Eisenhower, he's a real yeah, red, wasn't he?
New Deal Pinkoism.
Yeah, yeah. You know what the tax rate under Dwight David Eisenhower was? 72%.
Yes, Bill.
Don't you be calling me a red. I'm no red. You're tormenting me. Yeah. Hey, listen.
I can hear it, Bill.
This is radio.
I can hear the scream.
This
I
is
hear
radio.
I heard it. Back to I heard the scream.
Okay, let's try this again. Hey, listen. I got something special just for you.
Yes.
Because sometimes we have these like really silly things that we talk about on the air. And there's a place called Seton Hall University. Have you heard of Seton Hall University?
Never heard of it, Bill.
Seton Hall University this is the radio station at Seton Hall University was actually given a list of, and this appeared on my Facebook. You're not a Facebook guy, are you?
No, Bill. No. I'm shy.
Are you shy?
Shy. So I'm an introvert, Bill. Thanks.
That's
why I go and took on these shows with you. Yeah, I'm an introvert.
Yeah, no.
But there's only two of us here. There's no one else here.
No one else is here.
No one else is going to listen to this. It's okay.
You, me, and Bill Shatner.
Yeah, that's it.
And did you see that? Did you see that?
Yeah.
That's Bill Shatner.
Hello, Bill.
Yep.
Yeah.
Goodbye. No. Hello, Gary. I'm Kirk from you. And I can do a great William Shatner, usually. And you know right over there, that's Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy and William Shatner.
Yeah, so we're in good company here, Bill.
Yes, we are. Anyway, listen, this is actually from Seton Hall University. Now, from a friend of mine who said that they have there's a Christian radio station there. And there are, they do play some heavy metal. But they got a list.
Tell us about it, Bill. Give us the list. Hit us with the
list.
This is
really sad, and it's we're going from basically talking about high-minded principles and principles of terror and terrorism and everything.
Now, this is important.
This is almost as important.
Yeah.
These are the 15 different names of heavy metal groups not allowed.
Yeah,
by the Seton Hall Christian radio station.
Go ahead, Bill. Tell us about them. I can't wait. Bill, I'm dying of suspense here.
You're no help whatsoever.
Come on. I want the details.
All right. Number 15. Okay. I'd like you hear the trumpets?
Trumpets.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Gabriel's trumpets.
Yes. There they are. The top 15 names for heavy metal bands not allowed at a Christian radio station. Number 15. Rhino clit.
Bill, I think we need to start looking at some Christian band names.
No. Number 14. This is really.
Keep going.
Step away. Step away from this. Anal cunt.
It's poetry, Bill. These guys are poets.
Number 13 is aborted fetus. Number... I don't know why I did this. Number 12 is shit scum. Number 11 is... oh, God. Number 11 is deep fried abortion. No, I really didn't.
What's wrong with these Christian colleges, Bill?
I don't know. Number 10, you know what number 10 was? Barbed wire condom. It always is, isn't it? Number 9. Let me see. Number 9, cradle of filth. That's kind of nice, though.
That's cute.
It's musical.
Yeah.
Cradle of filth.
Yeah.
It's almost Mrs. Doubtfire. Mrs. Doubtfire could say, yeah. Hello! Welcome cradle, to my cradle of filth.
Yes.
Hello!
It's cute.
Okay, now we're up to number 7, I think. Cockspear is number 7. Death Angel is number 6. God Dethroned. Kind of gets right to the point, doesn't it?
They're not messing around. Yeah.
God Dethroned is number 5. Impaled Nazarene, number 4. Had to be.
Yeah.
Number 3. The Jack Officers. Now that's well earned. That's well earned.
Keep going, bro.
Okay, all right. Number 2. Number 2 is Jesus Chrysler.
Yes. See, Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit. Yeah. Been. All right. And the number one name of a heavy metal band not to be played is at a Christian radio station is
go for it, Bill.
The ever popular God Whore.
Bill, how about some good Christian band names now?
Yeah. I don't know any good. This is just something that appeared on my desk.
Need some creativity. You know, like Mega Post Death.
Mega Post Death?
Yeah, the Dead Pope Society.
The Dead Popes. Pope Society. Yeah.
How about the Roasting Christian Brothers in Fires of Hell sort of thing. Let's get into some serious Christian names for them. We could be consultants, Bill.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. That's something I want to say, is that we can sit here. We're sitting here just making jokes, and some of it may be a little bit of...
But these guys are
in bad taste, but you know something?
Yeah.
The church down the street isn't going to put a fatwa out on me.
Yeah. I like that about them.
I like that about... Yeah. The way I, the yeah. where I live, a little yeah. little piece of something
I
to think about.
I like that about the Seventh Day Adventists, Bill.
The Seventh Day Adventists. They don't kill you.
Yeah, you're not going to get a steak.
But no, they'll bother you in train stations.
You could starve, Bill.
Huh?
You could starve.
I could starve. That's about it.
That's probably the cruelest thing they do to you.
And the Krishnas, you know, that's the opposite. Yeah. I think the Krishnas are like the opposite to the extremist Islam.
Yeah,
the Krishnas are kind of like. Yeah. What a cool religion, you know? You don't want to believe me? Okay, no problem. Yep. It's all right. Well, off you go to the airport. You know, like really nice?
Yep.
I like that. It's like, just mellow out. Everyone chill.
I know you're going to suffer without a steak there too, Bill, but you'll get by.
I will. Yeah. Now we have a couple of minutes left, but you know what we do at our last thing. You've never been in the Bill Zone before.
Not in the Bill Zone. Not, I haven't had the helmet on. You told me I had to put the helmet on.
And he does. He has a helmet on now.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's just sad. Formerly, he was 17 years in Australian politics, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. He's got a helmet on. Yeah. Okay.
I'm ready for the zone, Bill.
You're ready for the zone. Okay, what we're going to do is going to come back and give you our 2 tinfoil hats for the week. You brought in one, Gary.
Yes.
Because you were forced to listen to American political crap and find one.
I've just about hit my limit, Bill.
Okay, well, we're going to be back in just 1 minute. But first, here's this highlight from the week with Jon Stewart.
I wish I were a wiki-watchy mermaid. Swimming in the wiki-watchy spring.
Hi, this is the Big Dick.
You may wonder what I've been up to. Well, I've been down here doing Hitler's laundry and being forced to listen to this damn country music. Shut up! I also got to work with Mao, Pol Pot, and Stalin. And Mao's kind of fun, but Stalin's a drunk. Fucking commies! Anyway, when I'm done, I get to listen to the Bill Show. Actually, they make us do it. It's part of the program. God damn it, shut up! I am, you know who I am, I could have you killed.
Back to me. I wish I were a wiki-watching mermaid.
Return to ISIS. The terrorist insurgent group, / rogue nation, / all around living nightmare, / Nile River Mud Osiris Penis Reconstitutor. Yes, ISIS. It was a different ISIS. That ISIS. Was it. She remade her husband Nile River Mud Penis first. I'm just reporting what I know. You know, our president has spent the past few weeks working on a strategy for dealing with the ISIS terrorists to replace our previous strategy of not having a strategy. Now, typically, the president's been quite measured when it comes to military force.
Why is it that everybody's so eager to use military force?
The issue with respect to Syria is not simply a military issue.
We cannot use force everywhere that a radical ideology takes root.
What we're not going to be able to do is to play whack-a-mole and chase wherever extremists appear.
I'll tell you something about extremist whack-a-mole. It may be my least favorite whack-a-mole. Even if you whack every extremist, what do you win? Enough tickets for a slap bracelet? It hardly seems a proper return on $3 trillion. The Republicans, of course, do have a strategy.
If I'm the president, I say, look, I'm going to kill every one of these bastards.
Kill every one of these SOBs.
Bomb them back to the Stone Age.
Whack those suckers.
Pound them and pound them.
Blowing them to smithereens.
Scorch the earth.
Wipe them out.
Now, that last one, that was unfair to use the last one. Mr. Cheney is no longer in office. I don't think it's right to put him up there. Point is, we appear to be at a crossroads betwixt the nuanced vision of a non-omnipotent America projecting power selectively and some sort of weird, all-powerful Tarantino America that cleanses the world of sin through slow-motion bloodbaths. Last night, Barack Obama broke out his I killed bin Laden strut to deliver the verdict.
First, we will conduct a systematic campaign of airstrikes against these terrorists. We will hunt down terrorists who threaten our country wherever they are. If you threaten America, you will find no safe haven. Our objective is clear. We will degrade and ultimately destroy ISIL.
We have our answer. Last night, our mom jeans wearing socialist Muslim dictator tyrant pacifist went full America. Yeah.
A broad American leadership is the one constant in an uncertain world. It is America that has the capacity and the will to mobilize the world against terrorists. But as Americans, we welcome our responsibility to lead. This strategy of taking out terrorists who threaten us while supporting partners on the front lines is one that we have successfully pursued in Yemen and Somalia for years.
I don't know if you want to cite a successful anti-terrorist strategy that we've been pursuing for years. It's like Pepe Le Pew citing his successful seduction strategy of relentless, unconsummated cat stalking. So what has caused the president to cite the success of his containment strategy in Somalia and Yemen as evidence to support his new degrade and destroy strategy against ISIS?
According to a recent poll, 91% of those asked believe the Islamic State group is a threat to the United States.
65% support airstrikes in Syria.
65% support airstrikes in Syria. And here's a cute fact. That's a full 15 percentage points more than the percentage of Americans who can correctly identify Syria on a map. Oh, isn't that nice?
Hey, what are you gonna do? If I don't know where it is, it's probably not worth keeping. That country was so great, wouldn't I be able to point to it? Come on. So it seems President Obama has surrendered, which means we're going to war. But ISIS isn't just our problem, it's the world's problem. So who's with us?
The core coalition of 10 countries, including Canada, Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Denmark, and Australia.
I'm going to need to see this on the big board. Is that... Ah! Okay. That looks awful Christian-y. It's got a... little bit of a crusade-y vibe. I hesitate to ask this, but can a brother get an Ottoman up in this bitch?
It only officially includes one Muslim nation, Turkey.
We only needed one, baby. Cover supplied.
Any suggestion that Turkey is well on board for any sort of military action may be a problem for Turkey.
Go to war against a Muslim group without a Muslim ally. Now we're just the group of grown men at the One Direction concert without any kids. I mean, we're there for the right reason. We love the music, but that's not what everyone else thinks. Everyone else thinks, creep alert, boop, 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 boop. You know, I am seeing kind of a large, not lit up area in the region, right around, I guess you'd call, where the problem is. Can we not get some partners from those Islamic countries? A group of them, perhaps a kind of a Muslim brotherhood, for lack of a better word?
Iran is at present the only regional country here that has actually been active in helping the Iraqi military and government on the ground.
Iran. That's all we got, Iran. The country whose main fuel source is still the burning of our flags. Iran, that Iran, that Iran. And obviously, they're huge fields of oil. But, you know, it appears to me that to attack Sunni extremists by joining the Western world with the big dog of the Shiite world, it might be a little weird. And if I remember correctly, in this area of nothing happening and nobody joining, the United States has supplied that area with billions of weapons, technology, and military training. So, Bellers?
There is an agreement from the Saudis today that they will create bases or permit the Free Syrian Army to train, and Americans will be training them.
Oh, thank you so much. So while America fights the group that wants to take the Saudis down, the Saudis are letting us crash on their couch. Thanks. Thanks for making yourself available on Airstrike BNB. Oh, you're so great. But you know what? Once again... Once again, in our excitement to export American boomocracy, we may be forgetting a very important lesson.
We can't erase every trace of evil from the world.
Don't tell me, tell you! You know, we have an anniversary today. The attack of 13 years ago today was planned by four dickheads in a three-bedroom apartment in Hamburg. Probably could have been a two-bedroom, but they wanted a home office. There is no way to militarily eliminate enough space to keep some terrorists from operating against us. So until this part of the world decides that it irks them that the belief system they hold sacred is being misrepresented to justify a perpetual violence machine, until it starts to see past sectarian lines and national borders that, okay, we drew, we'll give you that. The United States can't fix this. Because it can't be fixed by waving a magic bomb. Not that we don't have one of those in development. We'll be right back.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that song again. It's the news and commentary that I listen to because I hate my own head. It is our tinfoil hat segment this week. And Gary, as the unofficial co-pilot, because Randy's out tonight today, you had to expose yourself to something that I usually I give people a radiation suit.
Yeah, I'm damaged.
Before they have like that.
Full third degree burns
like
to the
a
body.
Contagion.
Yeah.
Because there are two things that you don't want to experience: Ebola and this guy.
Yeah, I've been to the emergency department.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, good. Your color's good. Yeah.
Bill, this is a nice little piece, and it's proof of the universal law of physics that every nutcase has an equal and opposite nutcase. And I know we hear about the idea of the feminazis.
The feminazis.
It's an old term, but
you've been hanging out with Rush, haven't you?
Yeah.
Hanging out with the Rush.
But look, you know, sometimes we've just got to say, guys, get over it. Women are always right. And one thing that women are always right about is this topic, and this guy has got it wrong. Can we roll it, Bill?
Yes, okay. This is Rush Limbaugh going on about the talk that's been going on in the NFL, the National Football League. And part of the thing that Rush likes to talk a little bit about is the fact that the feminazis don't like it when Rush sits there and says maybe some of the fault lies on the victim. So this is Rush talking about that, and that's the context. Yeah. And it's pure Rush.
You're wrong, Rush.
Here it is. Rush Limbaugh. Yeah.
Here's the way the feminazis look at this. Every step a woman must take to protect herself from unwanted sexual assault is just evidence that there's nothing that can be done to stop it. And therefore, if nothing is going to be done to stop it, in other words, if we're not going to come up with ways to target the rapist beforehand, then all we're doing is promoting the rape culture by putting the burden on the woman. There was a story, seems like last week, but it had to be longer ago than that, where maybe it was Stephen A. Smith. Somebody said that, and maybe it was a woman who said, well, you know, women have to realize that certain ways they dress can be provocative and inviting, you know. And remember, the feminazis went batty over that. The sad thing is, and it's not sad, the reality is that boys chase girls. I mean, there's nothing the feminazis are ever going to be able to do about that.
And we're going to get tanked, and we're going to want a little action. So, you know, get over it. You know what I'm saying, Ben? You know what I'm saying? These feminazis, these feminists, Gary. Yeah, you know, it's perfectly natural. You know, you sow your wild oats. You know what I'm talking about. And those girls, they want it. They got it coming.
Bill, these guys are living in the same era as some of the people that...
I don't believe it.
Yeah,
is a national radio host in America.
Yeah.
He makes millions of dollars every year to spout this sexist fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And the wink and the nod is that, you know, those, you know, women, if they wear something revealing, they really want it. They really have it coming. But you know something? I raised a daughter. And you raised a daughter.
Bill,
right?
You and I know, as I said, women are always
right. Right. First always of all, right, the key Bill. To a long marriage.
Yeah. Bill,
yes. But let me tell you something. The idea that women in any way are asking for it, fuck you, Rush.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself, okay,
so,
you fat
Bill,
piece of shit.
It's good that every time this stuff comes up, we have to put it out there and say, no, no, no.
No, 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 no.
Yeah.
But I said the F word. You didn't. Because I'm
a
toilet.
That's your.
Yeah, that's my
prevention. It's your show,
Listen, it's my show. Sure. And it is an explicit rating. Listen, I got one for you.
Yeah, let's go. I'm ready.
And this guy really worried. I was really worried about this. This I pulled off the net. This is, oh my God. My God. Gabor Zolna. Okay. And it was on my, YouTube. You know, I subscribe to a lot of channels on YouTube. Help me out here. Yes, you know?
Yes, Bill.
So I'm doing the show all by myself. So, Bill, you've done yours. You're in the fucking car on the way home. Help me out here.
You know how many shows you subscribe to? I don't have to tell people about that.
Yeah, so I subscribe to a lot of shows.
Lot. I've seen it.
And Gabor Zola, this guy, I swear to God, this guy, I have yet to hear someone so successfully have their cheese kind of slip off their cracker. You know, I mean, literally, the cheese slipping off somebody's cracker And slowly but surely, I'm going to paint this picture for you, okay? Imagine every stereotypical 55-year-old white-haired white guy discovering that he has YouTube and he has a lot of time on his hands ever since, you know, he sold his shares in that hedge fund. He's got a little extra money and he hates Obama. So what he's done, he's got his own YouTube channel. And Gabor, I think that his name is. And I swear to God, he was sitting there in front of, obviously, the camera. And in the back of this, I swear to God, picture this. In the back of this is an American flag glue tacked to a chair. Oh, man, this is priceless. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I give you the comedy stylings of... when it comes to the cheese rolling off your cracker, the comedy stylings of Gabor Zolna off the web. You, sir, are my tinfoil hat this week.
He's the winner, Bert.
He's the gift that's going to keep on giving for a long time. Here it is, Gabor. You're a legend, sir.
Hello again. My name's Gabe Zolna. Well, the war has begun. This is the 22nd of September, 2014, and the commander-in-chief launched Tomahawk missiles against Syria. Five Arab countries are also involved in attacking Syria. France and England won't attack Syria. You have to ask yourself a question. Those five Arab countries, you want to bet that they're all Sunnis? You want to bet that every single one of those countries is Sunnis? Saudi Arabia is Sunnis? You want to bet that what they're doing is they're trying to destroy Bashar al-Assad's military the same way as Obama destroyed Gaddafi's military in Libya? That's exactly what he's doing. Five of those Arab countries are all Sunnis, and they're trying to destroy Bashar al-Assad, who's a Shiite. That's what this is all about. Wake up, America. The war's begun. And who do you think supports Syria? Huh? Well, you know who supports Syria? Iran and Russia. Obama is starting World War III. That's what he's doing. September the 22nd, 2014 is the beginning of the end. Every one of those Muslim countries that are attacking Syria, Sunni! They're all fucking Sunnis!
That's Sunnis, man. Sunnis. That just gets you really upset there. Yeah. He's just like sitting. You know what the best part is? It's the pause when you think he's done.
He's just
it's just like, no. He's just reloading.
He's just breathing in.
He starts off, I got to see you on the video, man. I guess it's fantastic on the video. He starts off and I just go, oh, here's a nice man. And it's like in 4 minutes.
It's just
rabid redneck shit's coming out of his mouth. It's like, ah!
I could just see, I was thinking of you
just there a minute because you used to... Yeah. You used to be a politician, so you'd go to the shopping centers, right? And you just sit there, and you know, I can imagine you going through this entire thing, going, "Look, I gotta go.
I haven't finished yet."
And slowly but surely, it's that moment of time that goes from like, "There's a nice guy," seems like a nice guy, to "Oh my God, he might be crazy."
Yeah.
Then, yes, indeed, the cheese is falling off its cracker.
Just plain nuts.
And there's no fucking way I can get out of this. Have you ever had that situation?
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Did you fake a heart attack or something?
Where's the exit door? Let's get me out of here.
See, that's why I could never be a politician. I would just turn to him and I'd say, look, fucking shut up, all right? Unless you're paying me $100 an hour to deal with your fucking horseshit, which you should definitely have somebody listen to you because you are fucked up. But do not fucking presume to take my fucking time with your shit.
He needs to have his electricity cut off, I think.
I think. See, the thing is that with this podcast, it's like we go on a bit, but you have a choice of not listening. I think Golan... Or Gabor, Gabby Zolan, Gabby Zolna.
Is it? How does it work if he spelled his name backwards? Is it?
I don't know. I think it means.
Is it code for something?
Yeah, I think it means Paul is dead. Yeah. You must kill mommy and daddy. But listen, I'm gonna press the button because baby, you deserve it, Gabby Zolna. You got the button, Gabby. Certainly was, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what, of course, we look for in a fantastic tinfoil ad. And Gabby, you win. So, Gary, I want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Bill. It's been a pleasure to be here at the Kremlin.
You haven't heard, but we did find common ground.
We did find a very small postage stamp.
Small.
To stand on together, Bill.
Postage stamp together.
You're a bit big on that postage stamp. It's not room for both of us.
No.
Even though we agreed.
No, I'm
going to
lose some weight, man.
Yeah.
That's it. Listen, if you want to get in touch with us, you got nothing better to do. God, you've spent an hour with us already. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call us at, you can get email us on The Bill Show on xpr@gmail.com. Check out our Facebook page, right? The Bill's on XPR. That's on Facebook. You can also reach us on Stitcher Radio. That's right, Stitcher Radio, the place to go if you want a show. Stitcher Radio, over 15,000 different podcasts that you can access from all over the world, BBC, PBS, and, of course, us on any mobile device. That's right, download Stitcher Radio and favorite us on Stitcher. Also, you can reach us on iTunes, where we're downloadable, and, of course, at our home site, www.expatprogressive.podbean.com, which, of course, is our home site, where you can listen to over 100 different shows of us just talking politics, as we do with the bourbon every couple of weeks here on The Bill Show. So until next time, you want to say goodbye, Gary?
Good night, Bill, and good night, world.
And here's a little rock and roll to take us out. So long, till next time. Bye.